For NPR Illinois, I'm Daisy Contreras. For this week's Illinois Issues In-Depth Report, I interviewed columnist Charlie Wheeler.
Kind of my advice was, think about what you mean when you say a truly balanced budget. And the reason I say that is if you intend for a truly balanced budget to mean that at the end of fiscal year 2018, the state will have no deficit in its main operating account, I don't think that's realistic. And the reason I say that is because if you look at the expected revenues, you compare it to what the expenditures are going to be absent any legislative action, there's a gap of roughly $7 billion. And if you add on the amount of leftover bills we're going to have, the bill backlog, when the current fiscal year ends on June 30th, those estimates range all the way from $7 to roughly $15 billion. So if you look at it from the conservative point of view, you're probably looking at, to achieve a zero balance at the end of FY18, you're looking at a combination of cuts, spending cuts, and tax increases that would be in the neighborhood of $20 billion. I don't think that that's possible. Now, mathematically, it is. You could decide, for example, okay, we're not going to fund education this year, but that's not going to happen. And so what I'm suggesting is maybe to take a multi-year approach, and instead of trying to eliminate it all in one fell swoop, instead trying to bring it down periodically over the next several years. As a matter of fact, the Civic Federation, which is a public policy, nonpartisan think tank up in Chicago, has recommended that very thing.
The last time Illinois saw a balanced budget was in fiscal year 2001, and you call this as having a budgetary surplus. So what is this, and what exactly went wrong after 2001?
Well, the long-standing definition of, if you will, of what it constitutes a balanced budget was to compare a couple of numbers. How much is in the bank at the end of the fiscal year on June 30th? How many more bills do we have to pay? What's the amount that we have to pay during the next 2 months? It's called the lapse period, and it's a time in which bills from the prior fiscal year can still be paid. A balanced budget would be if there's enough money in the bank on June 30th to pay the outstanding bills. The last time that occurred was in fiscal 2001. But in fiscal 2002, we had a sort of a mini recession, plus we had the terrorist attacks on September 11th. That caused our revenues to plummet, and so we went from a surplus of $300 million to a deficit of $1.2 billion in the course of one fiscal year, and it was because the economy just tanked.
There is a constitutional requirement for a balanced budget, but the key word in this provision is estimate. You already went through some of them, but what are the consequences of this language in this provision?
I guess a way to state it succinctly is that this is more wishful thinking than a constitutional mandate. And I say that for a couple of reasons. One, Daisy, as you suggested, it says estimate. And I remember back in the day, routinely at the end of the spring session, and then sessions lasted to June 30th, somebody would get up on the legislative floor in either the House or the Senate, and they'd say, well, our spending plan spends X. We estimate that the available resources are going to be X plus one, and that would be it. And because you're making educated guesses about what's going to happen in the future, you know, that's the wiggle room. Sometimes you fudge purposely. You decide, for example, well, we're $50 million short. Let's just jack the revenue estimate by $50 million. That's happened historically. Or sometimes you get caught total surprise. The budget as prepared initially for fiscal year 2002 was balanced. The revenue estimates were sufficient to cover the spending. But then along came the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Our tax collections tanked. And as a result, we wound up with a billion-dollar plus deficit. And so that was something that could not be foreseen. And so that's kind of where the estimate comes in. And another thing that I think we sometimes lose sight of is that the language in the Constitution talks about appropriations, it talks about expenditures, but it's all encompassing in the sense that it doesn't refer to a particular set of funds.
You provide some insight already into what could lead to a balanced budget. So why do you think it's so hard for lawmakers to establish balanced budgets?
I don't claim that this is like my original proposal. I'm not that skilled at analyzing these public policy issues. So I'm basically cribbing my idea from the Civic Federation, from the Institute of Government Public Affairs, and from many other people who said the same thing. The difficulty is it's going to require cuts, and it's going to require more revenue. Now, the cuts of necessity would have to come from popular programs because that's where we spend the money. Something like close to 90% of the general fund's budget goes for things like education, healthcare, human services, public protection or public safety, which basically is the prison system. And people repeatedly tell pollsters, we don't want to cut those areas. And so they say, let's cut waste and abuse and mismanagement. And yet when the agency directors and the budget experts from the different departments appeared before the Senate Appropriations Committees and they were specifically asked, where could you cut in your agency? What are the less important things that could be eliminated as we try to close this budget gap? There were very few suggestions that came forward. And in a couple of instances, department directors said, well, we actually need more money to carry out our mission. So making cuts is really, really hard. The second part of it, raising revenues, is equally hard.
And do you think that the advice that you provide in your column will be taken up by the governor or legislators before the end of this session?
I've decided not to try and make predictions. And the reason is a lot of my insights are based on what it was like during my time as a working reporter. And that is carried through pretty well up until the point where Governor Rauner gets elected and comes in with a different agenda. And so it strikes me that if someone were genuinely concerned about the impact of what not having a budget is doing to our higher education community, what it's doing to people who rely on social services as kind of a safety net, if someone was really concerned about those terrible impacts, that individual would sit down with the other side and say, okay, let's get this taken care of and we'll leave everything else for later. But my sense is that Governor Rauner is more interested in pursuing his policy agenda than he is on taking care of the state's fiscal problems.
I'm Daisy Contreras. For more information, go to illinoisissues.org.